when our founding fathers signed the Declaration of Independence, 56 men signed that Declaration of Independence. Did you know those 56 men put their life on the line? Did you know many of them, well, every one of them, for that matter, lost financial hardships because of it? Some of them lost their lives. Some of them lost their families' lives. We got a great country. I see these soldiers. You know, every time I see a soldier now, almost everywhere I go and I see a soldier, I go up and thank them. Thank you, Brother Robinson. And all those in service here, thank you for serving our country. We owe our veterans, you that are vets here, thank you. Thank you, vets. We sure thank God for you. I couldn't preach here today if it wasn't for living in America. People wouldn't have sacrificed and gave of themselves. Would you look at your Bible in Philippians 4:4? I want to just share a few things with you about things to rejoice over. Boy, we had a great time yesterday. We didn't play volleyball, but boy, we sure had fun eating, didn't we, Brother Jack? Me and Brother Jack had three plates in a row, and then we had a grand finale on the fourth plate. We didn't play volleyball, but we sure did knock over them plates over at the table there with the food. Oh, baby Wade, he sure loves that watermelon. You ought to see that little baby Wade eat that watermelon, buddy. He was chucking that watermelon down, unbelievable. Jim Samueldale didn't do too bad himself. Preacher didn't do too bad himself. I had two plates of it. We're so blessed to be in America. Teenagers played volleyball and we pitched the ball to the kids and had a great time yesterday. We're so blessed in America. I called my friend Dr. Anderson and seen how they were doing. Pray for Russell Anderson. His brother's dying of cancer. He's up in Ann Arbor. That's where he was when I was talking to him yesterday. Maxine Anderson, he said thank you for the cards. He got them. He brought them to his wife this last week. She was just starting to do better, and she walked, and no one was with her, and she fell down again. Would you just pray for Russell Anderson today? Ask God to encourage him and bless him. He's sure been a blessing to America. And I just pray God will bless him. Philippians 4:4. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Boy, I've been having the last 2 weeks, I've been lined up to go in Brother Phil's class. Of course, the week before that, I was up here at the adults. But next week, I'll be with Brother Phil's class again. And I went over, and I thought, man, they're waiting on me upstairs. And here, Brother Dave, he was going just like I was. Get all chip off the old block, amen. We don't go by the bells. We just go and we have to quit when we finally have to stop. You know, if you don't come to Sunday school, you're missing. These classes are hopping here. I don't care what class you go to, whether it be one of our ladies or one of our men teaching it. We have great Sunday school classes and great teachers. And come on out for 9:30 Sunday school. You could you go to work at 6 o'clock in the morning, you could surely come to Sunday school at 9:30. Amen. So, but I want to talk to you here, Brother Danny, the title, Things to Rejoice Over. Things to Rejoice Over. Going to bring you a little upbeat message today and try to encourage you just to be excited about being saved. Be excited about being American. Look at one verse. Philippians 4:4. Thank you for all the singing. Wasn't the singing a blessing? And that instrumental. Thank you for that instrumental, fellas. Rejoice. Look at Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord. Once in a while. Always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now look at the Bible. And again I say, rejoice. God's trying to make a point here. I want you to be happy. I want you to rejoice. Get to put a smile on your face. Get that sad sack off. Let's have a moment of prayer. Father, thank you for the precious word of God, and thank you for our country. Lord, every time I think about America, I get so emotionally moved. I love this country so much, and I just pray you'll come back soon before it collapses. It doesn't turn back to you, Father, and there's no hope for it. Father, I pray that churches all over America, that Christians all over America would come alive for Christ, that preachers would get fired up for Christ, that we would do all we can for the cause of Christ as much time as we have left. This week, Lord, we could reach children that might never be reached. We could pray for people that God could bring kids in, and Lord, and bring their parents in. Someone's eternity could be affected this week in Vacation Bible School. Help us to see the importance of this VBS this coming Wednesday. Help us, Father, to see the reality of times it's running short. And if we're going to do something, we better do it now. Help us to stop and reflect on all the blessings that you've given to us today, Father, and help us to rejoice in the things of God. Lord, I believe you put this in my heart to preach, and help me to be a blessing to the people. Thank you for everyone here. Thank you for our visitors. I pray they'll feel a warm welcome in our church, and they'll feel the love of Christ, and they'll want to keep coming back. And I pray if there'd be any here that's never trusted Christ as their Savior, I pray that you would encourage them to come to Christ today. Thank you for those that have birthdays, and thank you for those anniversaries. God bless those marriages, and thank you for those years those couples that are rejoicing. Thank you for those, and bless their marriages, and may you give many, many more. I pray for Jimmy Furness that you'd bless him and heal his body up, and bless Judy, I pray also. And Lord, bless our teenagers that had birthdays yesterday and today. And Lord, just come down and meet with us now. Give us a great day in church and be with the several families that are out of town today. Be with each one of them. We ask these things in Christ's wonderful name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Did you notice what it says there? Look what that Bible is telling us there. Look what it's telling us to do. It said to rejoice. And not just to rejoice when we feel like rejoicing. Not just to rejoice when things are going good. Not just to rejoice when we're on the mountaintop. Not just to rejoice when we feel like, oh, it's a good time to rejoice. But look at that verse 4. Rejoice always. You know what? Hold, I wasn't going to do it, but look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:10. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Hey, I don't care where, Paul said, I don't care what state I'm in, I'm going to rejoice. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. Paul says, you know what? I don't care if I've got nothing. I don't care if I'm poor or rich. I don't care what. I'm going to rejoice. You can't take the joy of Christ away from me. And by the way, when he wrote that in Philippians and Philemon, those prison, he was in the prison. When he wrote that, he was in prison. And he's saying, I want you to rejoice. No matter what you're going through in life right now, no matter what you're facing, God says, look up to him. I want you to rejoice. Brother Kenny, when Paul wrote this, he was in prison under Nero, and he was still rejoicing. I mean, that's the most wickedest king there was, and ruler, one of the most, and he was still rejoicing, even though he was under his rule and under his punishment and judgment. He still had a rejoicing heart. You know what? Look up here. You know why? You know what hurts Christianity? Not many Christians rejoice. The world sees us as downers instead of uppers. The world sees us as discouragers instead of encouragers. Are you with me? But not only does he say rejoice in 4:4, but then he repeats it, Brother Rod. He says, again I say, rejoice. In other words, he's saying to you, listen here, buckle. Take that frown off your face. Put a smile in its place and start to rejoice. You know, Christians ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. I was talking to the Brother Phil's class, and I got so excited down there. I hope I didn't blow out the other classes in the basement. I got thinking about it. I didn't think about it while I was there, but I thought, you know, Brother Eddie said, thank you, preacher. And I thought, what did I do? And I'm thinking, did you hear me in your classes today? Arlene's not saying a word. God bless her. Anyways, everybody was taught the book of Romans this morning in the basement. We were talking about how God's forgive. And I was showing Brother Mark and Angel and Brother Rick and Cease and a bunch of them. I said, over there in Ephesians 2:6, it says that God has already seen us risen with Christ. Even though we're here, God, he already reckons us up in heaven with him. I don't know about you, but it's going to be fun in heaven. Hey, I don't care what you're going through down here. He said, your immediate place you're going to be is heaven. You ought to start rejoicing. The happiest Christians, the happiest people on the face of this planet ought to be Christians. And the most happiest and those that rejoice the most ought to be American Christians. The American Christian is spoiled. Me. We have got so much blessings from God. You know, we ought to be rejoicing always. Bob Gray always says, can anyone say amen? Amen. You know why? And what did he say to the girls? Amen? Oh, okay. Men, can you say amen?
Amen.
And girls, you say men say,
amen.
And girls say, uh-huh. You know what? You know why he does that? Because we've got something to rejoice over. Amen. Folks, look up here. If you're saved, you've been washed in the blood of Christ, you've got something to be rejoicing over. You know, why should you be sad and despondent when you're on your way to heaven? Our country yesterday celebrated it's 233rd birthday. I love America. And America has been blessed by God Almighty. For 233 years, Brother Coolidge, the Almighty God has blessed America. And by the way, if you don't believe that, you don't have no head. You don't got no brains in your head. America's greatness doesn't come from America. America's greatness comes from God. God has made America great. God has blessed America beyond measure. You know, I've quoted this. It's stuck with me since I heard him say it. Yesterday, we had a great time. And I'll tell you right now, we ate. Brother Jack, I gained one stinking solid pound from yesterday. This morning, I said, I gotta fast for 2 days to come back. Hamburgers, hot dogs, taco salad, you name it. The only thing I didn't have was Pepto-Bismol at the end. Mary, that cake was good. I was patriotic, red, white, and blue, and I ate it all, even the strawberries inside it. And everything else that they had on those tables. And Brother Jack was right with me. Amen. Did you know yesterday why we were feasting in America? 23,000 people died in this world of starvation. Did you know this week 161,000 people will die of starvation this week in the world? 161,000 people. Did you know this year 8,372 people will die of over 8 million people will die of starvation in this world this year. Not of diseases, just because of lack of food. There's 6.5 billion people on planet Earth. One half of those people yesterday, Brother Rick, 3¼ billion people, half the world yesterday, Brother Kenny, was just trying to find something to eat. Today, half the world will be trying just to find something to eat. They're not even worried about buying a car. They're not worried about buying a house. They're not worried about a roof over there. They're just trying to find something for them and their children and their families to put in their belly so they don't die. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with us having a good time. But what I want us to bring to reality is we are blessed in America. There's nothing wrong with having fun. There's nothing wrong with eating hamburgers and hot dogs. I think it's a good thing. But what I'm saying is this. We take for granted many things. Eddie prayed this morning, Lord, you've blessed us, and many times we take for granted things. He prayed this actual prayer. You were right, Ed. Folks, we take for granted things that God has given to us that half the world doesn't even have. I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't have a fun having a picnic. I'm saying while we have it, we ought to rejoice and thank God for giving it to us. Listen, we need to rejoice over the privilege of living in the greatest country in the world. We live in the greatest country in the world. That's why everybody wants to come to America, because America is the greatest country in the world. You don't see them flocking to Cuba to be with Castro. I see them risking their life to leave Cuba, to cross the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, on rafts and things, and many of them have died, to come to America. You don't see them rushing to go to Russia. They're not dropping them with parachutes, dropping out of planes and dropping to Russia. They're not rushing over down there to get to Argentina. They're not rushing over there to get to Poland. Afghanistan's not pulling a great crowd today. No, I'm trying to reach in reality. We are blessed. We are God. Brother Bud, for 233 years, God has blessed. When these two people sang, I hope you listened to the words that they sang. Because God has blessed America beyond our mind, beyond measure. Listen, I don't know where you are in the state you're in, but I'm going to tell you right now, Brother Bobby, every Christian on the face of America that should rejoice every day of their life. I mean that. We are blessed beyond measure, and we ought to be rejoicing. Dear God, thank you for this country. Thank you for saving me, and thank you for... I was talking to was Brother Jack and Brother Wade and them yesterday about... I'm just thanking God, Brother Billy, that God has given me light for truth. Folks, if you're saved today, you ought to thank God you're saved. Rod, how many... We used to say 10% of America is saved. I doubt it. If 2% of America is saved, I would say that's about a pretty realistic. And like Brother Jackson or Wade, one of the people, I can't remember, we were talking to a bunch of guys, maybe it was Jimmy. Somebody said, yeah, and think of the churches. Even the ones that do go to church, most of those people people go to church, the majority go to churches that don't even have the Bible, that don't even teach the truth. You're saved. You got life. You got a church that teaches the truth. You got a church that teaches the Bible. You ought to be saying, praise God. Lord, thank you for being so good to me. I look back and I was teaching this Phil's class, all the false teaching that people are growing up. You know what, Phil? I was so blessed. Because when I first got saved, I was taken to a church that gave me truth. Like, I never was not in a truth. I was never not in a church that didn't give me truth. Truth, Brother Larry, every preacher I ever had preached out of the King James Bible and stood for the Word of God. I never had people teach me false doctrine. Brother DJ, I've been taught truth from day one, from since I've been saved. I've been very fortunate. You that have been underneath fundamentalism and have got truth, you ought to thank God for that. Because a very small percentage of this country, of our people, even in Christianity, have got truth. I think we ought to rejoice over that. That we that have got truth ought to rejoice that we have it. Amen? By the way, just like Brother David, I'm not going to let them take my country, my freedom, and my liberty. I'm not letting them take my Bible either. I'm going to fight over this Bible. I got the Bible, and I'm not letting people take my Bible from me. But listen, we are so blessed in America. Psalms 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is Lord. Psalms 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord. That's why America's been blessed, because when our founding fathers, they founded this country on the principles of the Word of God. Now it's breaking my heart that we're leaving the principles, our country's leaving the principles, but that's what made this country great, and that's why God's blessed it. Listen, Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sins a reproach to any people. You wonder why America's having trouble? Because America's out in sin. America's turned her cheek and back on God. We better get that 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. That's what we need today, an old-fashioned revival. A heaven-sent, God-sent revival. Amen? Now listen to me. I don't know how much longer. Lou, I don't know how much longer God's going to hold back his judgment. I don't know how long, Arlene, I don't know how much longer God's going to bless America. I know the only reason I was laying in bed thinking this last night, Eddie. What's holding back the judgment of God? I mean, sin is rampant. Pornography, abortion, drugs, adultery. It's on a scale that's beyond my mind. I was talking to him yesterday about how when I was a little kid, how I was just a young boy, 11, 12. We used to hitchhike. Don't you do it now. I used to go down to the boys' club. I used to go over to my grandma and grandpa's house over in East Toledo. And my mom never had a worry. We never locked our doors at night. We did not. And I lived in North Toledo. We really didn't. We had a big dog named Butch. If you'd have went in there, he'd have shook your leg with his teeth. Old Butchie, part boxer, part lab, and part bite. He had a big old white chest. Come on, I want you to. You only fed me twice this week. I'd love to have a piece of your leg. Filet mignon. I'm going to tell you right now, I was so blessed as a child. Brother Bud, you and I can reminisce about when we were kids and how America used to be. And we don't have the same, you that got silver hair, you the silver hair people know what I'm talking about. I got down and prayed for my grandchildren last night that God would protect their purity. And I called every one of my children out, the girls and the boys. Name every one of my kids, I called them. I said, "Dear God, please protect the purity of my children." Because we live in such a world today that's so evil, Brother Mark, that you have, even a little child today can be hurt very badly. Oh, I want Jesus to come soon, don't you? Well, number one, I just wrote about five of them. I'm going to quickly just read them off to you because it's already time for you to go. But we're not going yet. Just like the bell rang, we're going to go 10 extra minutes. Number one, every one of us ought to thank. You want some things to rejoice about? Number one, you ought to thank God. You ought to rejoice that you're an American. And double that, you ought to rejoice that you're a Christian and live in America. I don't know how long God's going to hold back His judgment. I was up to almost 4 o'clock. I couldn't sleep. I just couldn't sleep. Grandma was one of those I just couldn't get my mind to rest about America. I thought about Dr. Hiles. I thought about Dr. Anderson. I thought about the scripture. Brother Phil, I thought about the scripture about Abraham in Genesis 18. Remember in Genesis 18 how Abraham begged God not to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Remember that? He said 50, 40, 30, 20. Finally he said, "God, don't get mad, but if there's just 10, would you not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah?" And God says, "All right, if there's just 10 people saved in Sodom and Gomorrah, if there's 10 righteous, I won't destroy it." There wasn't even 10 people saved in that whole city, in those two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, two cities. There wasn't 10 people, and judgment came down. And Brother Phil, I got thinking, I remember years ago, Dr. Howes, and I believe it with all my heart. You know what's holding back? Because the sin is so wicked in America. TV is wicked. The pornography, the internet, I mean, just accelerating. What's holding back the judgment of God? And the only thing I can say is because of soul winning. The only reason He's holding back, Brother Phil, that's why we got to keep going soul winning. If there's 10 people saved, I won't destroy Sodom. That same principle is for America. We got to keep, like this week, Vacation Bible School, I hope we reach a lot of kids for Christ. Because not only will you save a soul from hell, but we'll hide a multitude of sin. James 5:20. But not only that, if we keep winning, Brother Tim, if we keep winning people to Christ, I believe if we keep winning enough people, we'll hold back the judgment of God. And I think that's the only thing, Brother Phil, that's the only thing that's holding back the judgment of God is people going out winning people to Christ in America. God, because America's so wicked in sin that no wonder God doesn't bring down judgment, but we keep winning enough people to hold back the judgment. Because it's not God's will that any should perish. Amen? So we're going to keep sowing until Jesus comes. By the way, the only hope for, and Roger was singing, the only hope for America is for Christians to take the gospel out. For preachers, for missionaries to take the gospel out. That's the only hope for America. Number two, not only should we rejoice that we live in America, we ought to rejoice because our sins have all been forgiven. Man, I'm glad I'm saved. I was showing Brother Phil's class. Man, not only am I saved, but my sins are God not only forgave, He forgot forever. Psalms 103 says, verse 10 says, He hasn't dealt with us like we deserve. And verse 12 says, as far as east is from west, that's how far we've removed our sins. If Rod went east and Eddie White went west, that's two endless points. God has completely taken away all our sins forever. Hebrews 10:17 says, and their sins and iniquities I remember no more. Colossians 2:13 says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with his having forgiven you all trespasses. And then verse 14 says, nailed it to him to his cross. You know what? Romans 4:8 says, blesses the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That means he won't charge sin. I was showing the class. Here we are, we're all sinners. But when we get saved, I did this. Come on up, Mark. We'll do it again. When we get saved, Jesus gives us the robe of righteousness. Here we are all sinners. And I showed Brother Mark today when he got saved. Can I just be Jesus for a minute? See, Jesus had no sin. That's how come he could die for us. When we took Christ as our Savior, Mark didn't see it, but Jesus put the robe of righteousness around him. And now, hold that right there, will you, Mark? Mm-hmm. Even though we're all sinners, when God the Father looks on Mark, and Jesus is white as snow, pure sin, no sin, all God sees is perfect righteousness. You know what? He couldn't go to hell if he wanted to. Man, I'm not working for salvation. I'm not holding on. The Bible says I'm kept by the power of God. Amen. Matter of fact, I showed Brother Mark, we pulled that spitting stick today, man. Ephesians 2:6 says, we're already risen. He said, you are risen in Christ in heaven. Woohoo! I'm already there. Amen. I know right now I'm at 7:45. I didn't eat too many pickles last night. I know I'm at 7:45 North Freedom Street, Ravenna, Ohio. I know it's July 5th, 2009. But I'm telling you, God reckons us, even though we are saved, even though we're here right now, Brother Mark, God who calls those things which are not as though they are, yeah. He says, I've already seen you risen in heaven with Christ. Amen. Woo-hoo! Man, I'll tell you right now, if you can't get excited that your sins are forgiven, something's wrong with you, man. Amen. Woo-hoo! Man, I'm rejoicing. Man, I'm this most filthy sinner. Saved by grace. Amen. I'm not perfect. Matter of fact, you talk to Rosie, she'll tell you, man, I sin all the time. But I've got a perfect standing with God.
Amen.
Because of Christ. How many are with me?
Amen.
So number one, thank you. Thank you, brother.
You're welcome.
I'll take my jacket back. But Jesus never take it back.
That's right.
Good way to get rid of that jacket, wasn't it? I said, number one, we ought to rejoice because we live in America. I said, number two, we ought to rejoice because all our sins are forgiven. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
I said, number three, we ought to rejoice because we have the peace of God. You know that God gives us the peace. The world is in turmoil. But Brother Carl, Christians don't have to be in turmoil. We can have peace. Isaiah 26:3 says this, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Can anyone say amen? You know why most of these rock stars die of drugs and overdose and alcohol? They're trying to get peace. They're trying to get peace. But and as much as they do to try to get peace, Brother Bobby, it eludes them. They try to find refuge, but they never can find it. See, but Christians, we have found it because we have the Prince of Peace, Jesus, in our heart. See, in the midst of a storm, Jesus says, peace, be still. Carest thou that we perish? No, you're not going to perish. Just relax. I'll take you to the other side. Amen? By the way, I'm not happy Michael Jackson died, but I sure wish they'd get it over with.
Amen.
And no, I don't care about it, having a ticket to go see his funeral. I don't need Michael Jackson. I've got Jesus as my Savior. And by the way, I'm not happy that he died. Please don't misunderstand me. But I'm going to tell you right now, they actually said people committed suicide because Michael died. The king died. I'm going to tell you, Elvis Presley died. He wasn't the king. Michael Jackson died. He wasn't the king. But I know the king. His name is Jesus. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And I'm going to rejoice in him. Woohoo! Man, I'm a child of God and I got peace in Jesus. Amen. Number four, we can rejoice. Number one, because I'm an American. I live in America. Number two, I can rejoice because my sins are all forgiven. Number three, I can rejoice because I as a Christian, Christians can rejoice because we can really know peace. We're the only ones that can know peace, by the way. Number four, we can rejoice because this is not our home. Heaven is our eternal home. We're just passing through. John 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus said this, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive to myself. That where I am, there you may be also." Hallelujah. I'm going to heaven. You know what? Let me read to you Revelation. I'm almost done. Don't worry about it. This is more important what you're getting than anything at home can. In Revelation chapter 21, you want to read something fun? Look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. "I saw a new heaven, new earth. For the first heaven, first earth were passed away." Hey, we're going there. If you're saved, you're going there. "There was, and I, John, saw the whole holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.'" Hallelujah, I'm going to a place where there's no more crying. "There shall be no more death." Hallelujah, I'm going to a place that there's going to be no more death. "Neither shall there be sorrow, neither nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Brother, Mrs. Knight, hallelujah. One day, I know we're going through heartache and sorrow right now, but we're heading to a place where there's no more sorrow, no more death, no more pain, no more heartaches. Hallelujah. I'm going to a place called paradise, heaven.
Amen.
And it's going to last forever. "And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new,'" because, man, this old place needs new. "And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" Bud, the old timers, in other words, you can take it to the bank. This will happen. You can rejoice over this. Let me read you one more, then I'm going to move on to the last thing. Hebrews, I love this about Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, man. Verse 10. "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive the seed and was delivered of a child," talking about Isaac. "And when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised, she had a miracle birth," just like Jesus was a miracle birth. "Therefore, sprang there," but now Isaac had sin, Jesus had no sin. "Therefore sprang the even one of them as good as dead, so many in the stars of the skies and the multitude of sandwich in the sea by shores innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having them seen them afar off, and were persuaded and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they said, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." Are you seeking that country? "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence he came out, might have had the opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Brother Mark, he's preparing us a place, a city. Hallelujah. Look at verse 17. Look for that verse 16. Because he hath prepared them a city. Can anyone say amen? I'm looking for that city, Brother Mark. Woohoo! I'm going to rejoice. Listen, I don't know what's going to happen down on this earth. And Brother Bill, I don't give a flip. Annie, this isn't our home. Phoebe, this isn't our home. We're just pilgrims, Betty. We're just passing through. Obama can have it all. I'm just passing through. I'm looking for the city where there's streets of gold, pearly gates, where there's a pure river, where no one ever dies and no one ever sins and no one ever has heartache and there's no more graveyards. I ain't going to preach another funeral and no babies will ever die again. And all the babies that left us, we're going to see them again and never say goodbye forever. Can anyone say amen? If that can't get you to rejoice, I don't know what can rejoice. We ought to rejoice because of heaven. Amen? We ought to rejoice because, number five, because Jesus is coming back soon. Boy, the Bible says that the trumpet of God's going to sound and we, their lives, shall be caught up together with them. Man, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm ready for Christ. Any moment he could come. Listen. Why are you so down? We ought to be rejoicing. He's coming back. Lastly, not only should we rejoice that we live in America, rejoice that our sins have been forgiven, rejoice because we have a perfect peace with God, rejoice because our heaven's our home, rejoice because Jesus is coming back soon, and he really is. But we ought to rejoice because the lost person, if you're here today, or if you've got a lost loved one, you can rejoice because they can be saved today. You can rejoice because the blood of Jesus still cleanses people from their sins. You can rejoice because the blood of Jesus, even though it was shed over 2,000 years ago, it's still powerful today as it was back then. You can rejoice today because there's still room at the cross. Though millions have come, there's still room for one more. You can rejoice because you don't have to go to hell. How many want to go to hell today? You don't have to. Jesus died for you. He arose. Just take him as your Savior. You can rejoice today because God's given you an open invitation. God's given everyone here an open invitation to come and trust him as Savior. You can rejoice today because the day of salvation is now. The day of salvation is today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There's a whole lot of things to be rejoicing about. What are you rejoicing about? There's a lot to rejoice in, more than what I said. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart, although Christians might be going through some struggles in their life right now, may they lift their heart up to you and rejoice. They got a lot to rejoice over. Lord, more to rejoice over than what they have to be sad. And Lord, one day this is all going to be over, be past us and forever forgotten. Help us to rejoice always. Like Paul said, help us to have that rejoicing heart always. And Lord, I pray for anyone here that's never trusted you as Savior. May they see that they have an opportunity today. There's still, the door is still open to heaven. They die without Christ, they don't have a door, open door no more. Closed forever. But today is an invitation, an open invitation from God to be saved, to trust Christ, to receive that heavenly home that they could have for free from you. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I know I'm on my way to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know I'm for sure I'm saved. Preacher, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want to die and go to hell. And after Jesus loves me so much and gives me an opportunity, I want to be saved. Pray for me. I'd like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. You just say that. Pray for me. Raise that hand. Let me pray for you. Who'd say that? Pray for me. I'd like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Who'd say that? Pray for me. Preacher, just include me in that prayer. Pray for me. How many Christians will say, Preacher, I just want you to know I'm going through some struggles. I want you to pray for me that God will help me. I need, yes, sir, I see it. Yes, 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 sir, yes, ma'am, Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Way in the back. See everyone in the front. God bless you. Yes, ma'am. I see that. Yes, sir. I see that. Include me in that prayer. I'm going through some time. May God help me so I can rejoice even in the midst of all these problems. Help. Yes, ma'am. I see that. God bless you. Father, you've seen your people that are saved. You see their problems. You know their heartache. You know their troubles. You know their trials. You know what they're facing. Lord, in the midst of all their troubles and trials and heartaches and sorrow, would you come down and hug them from heaven? Would they feel the tenderness of God around them? Encourage them. Help them in the midst of all their troubles. Maybe in the midst of their poverty. Maybe in the midst of their sickness. Maybe in the midst of their sorrow. May you put a rejoicing heart in them. May they know that peace, and may they know the joy that passes all understanding. May you help them meet those problems and meet those situations. And Father, above all that, I pray that you'd help them to rejoice. Even in poverty or in sickness or hardship, help them to rejoice in the middle, in the midst of all that. Give them the joy from heaven, I pray. And Lord, if there be anyone here that doesn't know you as Savior, please help them to trust Christ today. I pray in Jesus' name.